Yes, I came into this world high as a bird. From secondhand cocaine powder, I know it sounds absurd. I never tooted, but it's in my veins. While the rest of the country bungees off bridges without no snapback and bitches. They say they need that to shake their fannies in the ass clubs. They go the other route, turn each other out, burn each other out. Where a bona fide brother like me can't even get no back rub these days. Ain't no bleak on their part, but they let me hold it down. Cause they shut you down when you speak from your heart. Now that's hard. While they ranting and raving about gats. Brother, I made them gats. They got some shit that'll blow out our backs from where they stay at. Oh, I fear the battle's just begun. Oh, thought we're here? Someday, we will be gone. So I'm hoping, and I'm wishing, and I'm praying to keep my faith in you. Yes, in you. I'm fascinated by the way your nipples peek at me through your blouse. Freaky me, freaky you. Can't help but be aroused. Excuse us, Lord. Lustful thinking, but that was the way we was brought up. Sneaking to watch Playboy at night, we almost be caught up in worldly ways. Chemistry between boys and girls is a lot like when we went to the woods and laid with the squirrels. During PE, we be exploring each other's privates. Hunching with all our clothes on until we felt excited. Then, oh now, it's on from here on out. Put your hands in the atmosphere if you know what I'm talking about. Now, if it's too harsh, then walk on out and I'll see you in the next song. They call it horny because it's devilish. Now see, we dead wrong. Oh, I feel the battle's just begun. Oh, thought we're here? Someday we will be gone. So I'm hoping and I'm wishing and I'm praying to keep my faith in you. Yeah, in you. People don't know about the stress I'm dealing with day to day. Speaking about the feelings I'm possessing for Renee. Open around and wondering where she stay. Saw the last that she lay. Give it another day, I say. But the load, he take it away. I give it back low. Cause that's like Bad Boys without the rims. Me and my auntie was tight like Southwest before the Pinks moved in. Like the brothers who own the liquor stores. Crack cocaines, pimps and hoes. Living up on the earth before a brother like daddy was born. But they making it seem like my music and crime are a team. But I'm speaking the truth, not dreams. So what in the fuck you mean my lyrics ain't clean? Oh, I feel the battle's just begun. Oh, thought we're here, someday we will be gone. So I'm hoping, and I'm wishing, and I'm praying to keep my faith in you. Yes, in you. That was a little skit by Outkast. Babylon.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Where the Sidewalk Ends, the Predictably Unpredictable podcast. I am your host, Jasper. We're going to be reading part 4 of The Game of Life. And How to Play It by Florence Scovel Shinn, a book written in 1925. She was a New Age thinker at the time. Her information that she wrote about then was as relevant then as it is today. Today, the law of non-resistance. Resist not evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Nothing on earth can resist an absolutely non-resistant person. The Chinese say that water is the most powerful element because it is perfectly non-resistant. It can wear away a rock and sweep all before it. Jesus Christ said, "Resist not evil," for he knew in reality there is no evil. Therefore, nothing to resist. Evil has come of man's vain imaginings or a belief in two powers, good and evil. But there is an old legend that Adam and Eve ate of Maya, the tree of illusion, and saw two powers instead of one power, God. Therefore, evil is a false law made by man for himself through psychoma or soul sleep. Soul sleep means that man's soul has been hypnotized by the race belief of sin, sickness, and death, etc., which is carnal or mortal thought. And his affairs have outpitched his illusions. We have read in the preceding chapter that man's soul is his subconscious mind, and whatever he feels deeply, good or bad, is outpictured by that faithful servant. His body and affairs show forth what he has been picturing. The sick man has pictured sickness, the poor man poverty, and the rich man wealth. People often say, why does a little child attract illness when it is too young to even know what it means? I answer that children are sensitive and receptive to the thoughts of others about them, and often outpictured the fears of their parents. I heard a metaphysician once say, if you do not run your subconscious mind yourself, someone else will run it for you. Mothers often unconsciously attract illness and disaster to their children by continually holding them in thoughts of fear and watching for symptoms. For example, a friend asked a woman if her little girl had the measles. She replied promptly, not yet. This implied that she was expecting the illness and therefore preparing the way for what she said did not want for herself and child. However, the man who is centered and established in right thinking, the man who sends out only goodwill to his fellow man, and who is without fear, cannot be touched or influenced by the negative thoughts of others. In fact, he could then receive only good thoughts, as he himself sends forth only good thoughts. Resistance is hell, for it places man in a state of torment. A metaphysician once gave me a wonderful recipe for taking every trick in the game of life. It is the acme of non-resistance. He gave it in this way. At one time in my life, I baptized children, and of course, they had many names. Now, I no longer baptize children, but I baptize events. But I give every event the same name. If I have a failure, I baptize it success. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. In this way, we see the great law of transformation founded on non-resistance. Through his spoken word, every failure was transmuted into success. For example, a woman who required money and who knew the spiritual law of opulence was thrown continually in a business way with a man who made her feel very poor. He talked lack and limitation, and she commenced to catch his poverty thoughts. So she disliked him and blamed him for her failure. She knew in order to demonstrate her supply, she must first feel that she had received. A feeling of opulence must precede its manifestation. It dawned upon her one day that she was resisting the situation and seeing two powers instead of one. So she blessed the man and baptized the situation, success. She affirmed, and there is only one power, God. In man, there is for my good and my prosperity, just what he did not seem to be there for. Soon after, she met through this man, a woman who gave her service for her services rendered several thousand dollars. And the man moved to a distant city and faded harmoniously from her life. Make the statement. Every man is a golden link in the chain of my good. For all men are good in manifestation, awaiting the opportunity given by man himself to serve the divine plan of his life. Bless your enemy, and you rob him of his ammunition. His arrows will be transmuted into blessings. This law is true of nations as well as individuals. Bless the nation. Send love and goodwill to every inhabitant, and it is robbed of its power to harm. Man can only get the right idea of non-resistance through spiritual understanding. My students have often said, I do not want to be a doormat. I reply, when you use non-resistance with wisdom, no one will ever be able to walk over you. Another example, one day I was impatiently waiting an important telephone call. I resisted every call that came in and made no outgoing calls myself, reasoning that it might interfere with the one I was awaiting. Instead of saying, divine ideas never conflict, the call will come at the right time, leaving it to infinite intelligence to arrange. I commenced to manage my things myself. I made the battle mine, not God's, and remained tense and anxious. The bell did not ring for about an hour, and I glanced at the phone and found the receiver had been off that length of time. the phone was disconnected. My anxiety, fear, and belief in interference had brought on a total eclipse of the telephone. Realizing what I had done, I commenced blessing the situation at once. I baptized it success and affirmed, I cannot lose any call that belongs to me by divine right. I am under grace and not under law. A friend rushed out to the nearest telephone to notify the company of to reconnect. She entered a crowded grocery, but the proprietor left his customers to attend the call himself. My phone was connected at once. 2 minutes later, I received a very important call, and about an hour afterwards, the one I had been awaiting. One ship comes in over a calm sea. So long as man resists a situation, he will have it with him. If he runs away from it, it will run after him. For example, I repeated to this woman one day, and she replied, "How true it is. I was unhappy at home. I disliked my mother, who was critical and domineering. So I ran away and was married. But I married my mother, for my husband was exactly like my mother, and I had the same situation to face again. Agree with thine adversity quickly." This means agree with the adverse situation is good. Be undisturbed by it, and it falls away of its own weight. None of the things move me in this wonderful affirmation. The inharmonious situations comes from inharmony within man himself. When there is in him no emotional response to an inharmonious situation, it fades away forever from his pathway. So we see man's work is ever with himself. People have said to me, "Give treatment to change my husband and my brother." I replied, "No, I will give treatment to change you. When you change, your husband and your brother will change." One of my students was in the habit of lying. I told her it was a failure method, and if she lied, she would be lied to. She replied, "I don't care. I can't possibly get along without lying." One day, she was speaking on the phone to a man with whom she was very much in love. She turned to me and said, "I don't trust him. I know he's lying to me." I replied, "Well, you lie yourself, so someone has to lie to you. And you will be sure it will be just the person you want the truth from." So, sometime after that, I saw her, and she said, "I'm cured of lying." I questioned, "What cured you?" She replied, "I've been living with a woman who lied worse than I did. One is often cured by his faults of seeing them in others. Life is a mirror, and we find only ourselves reflected in our associates. Living in the past is a failure method and a violation of spiritual law. Jesus Christ said, 'Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation.' Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. The robbers of time are the past and the future. Man should bless his past and forget it if it keeps him in bondage, and bless his future, knowing it has in store for him endless joy. But live fully in the now." For example, a woman came to me complaining that she had no money with which to buy Christmas gifts. She said, "Last year was so different. I had plenty of money and gave lovely presents, and this year I have scarcely a cent." I replied, "You will never demonstrate money while you are pathetic and live in the past. Live fully in the now and get ready to give Christmas presents. Dig your ditches and the money will come." She explained, "I know what to do. I will buy some tinsel twine, Christmas seals, and wrapping paper." I replied, "Do that, and the presents will come and stick themselves to the Christmas seals." This, too, was showing financial fearlessness and faith in God. And the reasoning mind said, keep every cent you have, and you are not sure where you'll get any more. But the seals, the paper, the twine, and a few days before Christmas received a gift of several hundred dollars, buying the seals entwined had impressed the subconscious with expectancy and opened the way for manifestation of money. She purchased all of the presents in plenty of time. Man must live suspended in the moment. Look well, therefore, to this day. Such is the salvation of the dawn. He must spiritually be alert, ever awaiting his lead, taking advantage of every opportunity. One day I said silently, Infinite Spirit, don't let me miss a trick. And something very important was told to me that evening. It was most necessary to begin the day with right words. Make an affirmation immediately upon waking. For example, Thy will be done this day. Today is the day of completion. I give thanks for this perfect day. Miracle shall follow miracle, and wonders shall never cease. Make this a habit, and one will see wonders and miracles come into his life. One morning, I picked up a book and read, Look with wonder at that which is before you. It seems to be my message for the day, so I repeat it again and again. Look with wonder at that which is before you. At about noon, a large sum of money was given me, which I had been desiring for a certain purpose. In a following chapter, I will give affirmations that I have found most effective. However, one should never use an affirmation unless it is absolutely satisfying and convincing to its own consciousness. And often an affirmative is changed to suit different people. For example, the following has brought success to many. I have a wonderful work in a wonderful way, and I give a wonderful service for wonderful pay. I gave the first two lines to one of my students, and she added the last two lines. It made a powerful statement, and there should always be perfect payment for perfect service. And a rhyme sinks easily into the subconscious. She went about singing it aloud and soon did receive wonderful work in a wonderful way and gave wonderful service for wonderful pay. Another student, a businessman, took it and changed the words work to business. He repeated, I have a wonderful business in a wonderful way. I give wonderful service for wonderful pay. That afternoon, he made $41,000 deal. Though there had been no activity in his affairs for months. Every affirmation must be carefully worded and completely covered the ground. For example, I knew a woman who was in great need and made a demand for work. She received a great deal of work, but was never paid anything. She now knows to add wonderful service for wonderful pay. It is man's divine right to have plenty, more than enough. His barn should be full, his cup should flow over. This is God's idea for man. And when man breaks down the barriers of lack in his own consciousness, the golden age will be his and every righteous desire of his heart fulfilled. That's the end of part four from The Game of Life and How to Play It, The Law of Non-Resistance. Coming up next, the law of karma and the law of forgiveness. Hope you enjoyed that one, and I hope you enjoyed my little wrap that I threw in here. And thank you for listening. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. Namaste. Yeah, this is Jasper. And don't forget to subscribe, follow, like, share, all that good stuff. It really helps me. Helps me a tremendous deal, much more than you out there probably realize. So thank you for all my listeners, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to entertain you and give you these downright beautiful, blissful, powerful laws of words that you can use to transform your life.